Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe and returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Then Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so I now say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
May I speak in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Bread, wine, water, a towel, a bowl, and a song. The latter with which I'm sure you'll all be familiar when I reveal the title shortly. How do all these things link up? To a non-Christian, they may well appear to be random, rather like clues in a parlour game or that nigh impossible television quiz game entitled Only Connect. So what will we guess the answer to be? The secular answer of all these things will probably remain random, but the religious answer for us here tonight is love. And the song is, Can You Feel the Love Tonight? From The Lion King. I'd like you to look at this simple one-word answer, love. But it isn't that simple, and I'm about to turn what I imagine you think I'm going to say on its head. Usually in a sermon, the preacher pushes the need for us, as Christians, to love God, then love our neighbour as ourselves, and fundamentally, I can't and certainly shouldn't argue with that, and I don't. However, I'm going to ask you to think about yourselves, just for a while, rather than others. Because before we can possibly begin to love either God or our neighbour, we have to know just how very much we are each loved by God. Otherwise, we're building on sand. It's a bit of a physician heal thyself from Luke's gospel, as we have to make absolutely sure that we've got things right before we can reach out and do the healing and or the loving. Is our love a pure and undying love, founded on the knowledge that God isn't just loving, but he's the very definition of love? We need to be reminded that he loves us because he created us and he sent his son to die for us. And we are travelling with Christ to the cross to witness that pouring out of love in all its glory as well as its horror. God's affection and love is unconditional, and he both generates and demonstrates love. And as we read in Psalm 100, that love endures forever. We cannot claim to be able to get out there and do God's work and demonstrate that love unless we are healed through and grounded in his perfect love. So the important question will be for you, can you feel the love tonight? So today, Maundy Thursday, when this whole concept of love is almost crystallized into a jewel-like form. The word Maundy comes from the Latin word mandatum, which means command. It's where we get the English word mandate. That word command is specifically referring to a moment Jesus shared with his closest followers that evening before he was crucified. And he shares it with each one of us this evening, over 2,000 years later. How special is that? So here we are, witnessing and hopefully experiencing the Last Supper, which you would think would be Jesus just sharing an ordinary meal with friends. But on this night, in this moment, things all of a sudden get profoundly personal. We all know that verse in John chapter 3 where Jesus talks about God's love for the entire world. But at this moment, it's not about the world. It's not about Israel. It's not about the person sitting next to you. It's about you. Just as Jesus wanted it to be about each of the disciples as individuals that night. And I think it's worth noting that up until this point in the Gospel of John, the author has never stated explicitly that Jesus loved his disciples. But tonight was and is different. If this unique love is ever to be for anyone else, first it has to be for each one of them and for you and for me. In this night, in the middle of all the chaos, Jesus pauses to make it very clear to show us that he loves us, just as he loved his disciples fully and to the utmost. He loves us to the greatest possible extent. Mid-meal, Jesus gets up and takes off his garment, which would have left him in a tunic, which was actually what servants in that day would wear to serve a meal. He gets up from the table and physically dresses himself like a servant. St. Paul would later write to the Philippians that Jesus made himself nothing by taking the very form of a servant. He actually puts on the very nature of a servant by changing his clothes. Jesus had no need to manipulate, no need for image maintenance. John writes, Jesus knew that he had come from God and was returning to God and had nothing to prove, as he knew in all humility exactly who he was and why he was there and why he is here for us now. Oh, that we could all be so assured as Christians in our positions in society today. Jesus knew his capacity to serve was directly related to his security in that identity. His capacity to love was fully related to the knowledge that he himself was so very loved. Which brings me round full circle to my opening thoughts this evening, that before we observe the command to love others, it's got to be about us. Jesus knows the months to come will not be easy for his disciples. Are they easy for you and me? He knows the mission he is asking them to embark on will require that they remember this moment. It will require that they know they are loved. Soon enough, they'll be called to go out into the world like sheep amongst wolves. They'll be called to go and love the unlovable. Jesus knows that they need this personal moment of pure love, that the mission will only be possible if they have this moment. So slowly, Jesus begins working his way around the room, washing their feet one by one, the lowliest of tasks. Because of this, I bet each of the disciples had a moment that night when they knew they were loved. Do you wonder if even Judas, the infamous betrayer, had a moment in which he realized that Jesus loved him to the very core? He loved even the conflicted, contradictory, misled parts of him with this extraordinary love. Tonight, we are reminded that the hands that took bread also took a towel. To be one with Christ at his table is to be one with him in sacrificial love. Alan Dunstan said, "What we are doing here in worship this evening, we call a service. It is significant that we use the same word for what we shall do when it is over. A service. To you and me, Christ says, give me those feet. Do you know that love? Can you feel the love tonight? I very much pray so."